45 metres back. Bernard Foley's
got the legs.
It's got the legs. The distance. Over! Over!
Hello and welcome to Pick and Drive Rugby. We are the People's Podcast, providing a platform for rugby lovers to come together and support the game that's played in heaven. I'm your host, Mitch, and joined with me this week is Lockie. Lockie, it's been a big rugby week for you. You've been sort of around the world almost. What have you been doing these last few days or a week?
Oh, we'll call it the world if it ends at Darwin and Adelaide. It's been good fun, Mitch. We've been zipping around. Northern Territory finals are on at the moment. So I've been back and forward there, and we'll have one final weekend this weekend for their senior finals. Looking forward to that. And then in Melbourne on Monday. Gee, it's the end of the working hump day, isn't it? God. In Adelaide this past Monday, gone to help with the Lions ticket launch down there, which was lots of fun. A good turnout at Adelaide, which I was pleasantly surprised with. They actually ended up fobbing off a bit of the gather around Aussie Rules stuff to come and have a yarn with us about Lions. So awesome. I don't think that was me. I think that was Timmy Horror in there wearing his nice tight blue knit polo. Well done, Timmy.
Yeah, he looked fresh.
He's good. He looked fit. One of the other presenters was joking that Tim must have played in the 1989 game when he was about 5, considering how fresh he looks these days. But it was really, really good start down there. And I think there's actually a lot of love for that invitational Aussie, New Zealand, Anzac style team in Adelaide with a big Kiwi population, big Polynesian population. I think that'll actually be quietly a bit of a go of that game.
Yeah, that's a good little point to start the podcast on. So for those that maybe aren't Australian-based or have been living under a rock, if you are an Australian rugby fan, earlier this week, Tuesday, the Lions tickets went on sale for the 2025 series. Now, there's very, very, very few tickets left. Now, this was a pre-sale to the general public, which is a little bit unusual in how they're sort of doing it. Confusion as to what's coming further, but Sydney, Brisbane allocation completely exhausted. I believe there are a few tickets left for the MCG and that test down between the Australian New Zealand team in South Australia Adelaide is also got tickets available too. So if you haven't been managed to get tickets yet, it doesn't mean that you're out of luck completely. There are more tickets to come, but it is great to see how quickly those tickets did get snatched up. It's going to be a really exciting series once it does get underway. Lockie, did you manage to snag a ticket to one of the test matches?
No, I didn't. I'm hoping I might be able to sneak into a press box somewhere, but just don't tell anyone. And if anyone's listening on the podcast, forget that I said that. But, mate, looking forward to them. I think it's fantastic that Sydney and Brisbane were snapped up that quickly. I expect that the G will go nice and quick as well. So I think it's up to all the punters out there. Let's get the tour games filled up. I think it's going to be a fantastic environment there. And I, for one, am raring to try and snag some tickets to the Reds-Lions game up at Suncorp as well. The unofficial fifth test of the tour, you could say, with the soon-to-be Super Rugby champions in a rich vein of form, mate, as we'll get into later on.
It will be very exciting if that does eventuate. But it has been almost a week since we've had a podcast out. We do apologise that we've had so much stuff on. I've been down in Melbourne for the weekend. Ando's busy at the moment. You've been around Australia, or the world, as we call it. We do apologize that we weren't able to get a podcast out on Sunday. We'll try and squeeze what we normally do across two podcasts into one. We're going to focus a little bit tonight on Super Rugby Women's Round 1 because we thought it was a cracking round and we really want to pump up that competition and give that as much exposure as we can. Then we will look at can you believe this, Lockie? We're nearly halfway through the Super Rugby Pacific season. It's round 5 this weekend. It's coming up really, really quickly. It almost felt like we only just kicked the competition off, but we're going to take this opportunity now to sort of look at 5 rounds in, how the Aussie teams are forming, how they're sitting, how they've impressed us so far this season, maybe a little bit of a prediction as to how the next part of the season looks for each team. And then we will get into our wrap up for Super Rugby Pacific round 5 each game. Now, before we dive into the content that we do have coming up very, very shortly, we do also have our tipping comp that's running at the moment. So a big shout out to Nick Wilson or Wilson's Warriors, who's taking out top spot on 21 points, followed very, very closely by Owen C in second place on 20 points. And then in third place, we've got Alan H or Red's rival on 19 points. So well done to all of those boys up the top of the competition. coming into last week, I was 152nd, I think. I'm now 147th. I've gone up a little bit, so I'm happy.
He's on
with
the
that.
Rise. He's on the rise.
I'm making my run late. I'm very happy with where I'm sitting at the moment. Maybe if I can get into the single digits, though, that might make me a little bit more happier. So I'll focus on
Let's
getting into the single
double,
digits.
Mate,
yeah, sorry, double figures, not single figures. Jeez, I've got a long way to go. I'm in triple, aren't I? But let's try and get into. I'll try and get into double figures by the next few weeks and see if I can finish the season in there. That'd be great. Let's just dive straight into it. So we had the Super Rugby Women's Round 1 be played over the weekend. Three amazing games. So good to have the women's rugby back on our screens. Two of these games were double headers, or with the men's games being played, the Queensland Reds against Fiji Honour in Drua was the third game of the weekend that wasn't incorporated into one of the Super Rugby Pacific men's matches. But the fact that it was being able to be played at Ballymore, such a great facility for Queensland to be able to have their own home ground there. Lockie, were you able to see any of this action, or were you too busy running around in the Northern Territory?
No, I was still on the plane, actually, for the Reds-Fiji game. We might tip onto that last, because what I did get to chance to watch through, Mitch, and what I really loved seeing was the Force v Rebels game. I think so much through this preseason, we've seen the Force really positively championing the women's program, the investment that they're putting into it, rolling out those two-year contracts for Trillian Pomare and Michaela Leonard. And look, from what we've seen, round one in, it's paying dividends. They looked a really cohesive unit. And from being up 19-7 at halftime to a dangerous-looking Rebels team, they kicked on for it, 36-12, and they were never headed.
Yeah, this Force team and both the Rebels team as well, really, really great opportunity for both of these teams. A little bit disappointing, I think, in some regards from this Rebels women's side. I think we've seen not a whole lot of changeover from them in previous years, and I was kind of hoping they might have been able to expand on their previous seasons. But this Western Force team really is looking the goods at the moment, and they weren't just scoring tries through their wingers. They were scoring tries through rolling mauls and in tight as well. So a really multifaceted display by the women in blue.
Oh, I think it's typified as well. I mentioned it earlier, but Michaela Leonard came out and absolutely brained it. She's vice captain under Pomare, but an 80-minute shift from the Wallaroos skipper. She won 8 lineouts, I think, which was terrific from her end. And then also to go with 8 carries, 12 tackles without a miss, and a stack of tackle busts as well. She was the complete package in that engine room for the Force. And it's what that side has lacked, is real punch through the middle. We saw they were really heavily reliant on Martha Mataele over the past few seasons to be out wide, a bit like a part of Manasa, just sitting out on the wing and doing all the running for the Force. But without that strike weapon on the side, they've really focused on building that engine room up front. And Mac Leonard had a field day out there. She was terrific. I also thought that out wide, I think it was, who was it? It was Rosie McGeehan on debut, picking up a double, just right place at the right time, held her width really nicely, scored a couple of great tries. And I've got huge raps on Aisha Wigley at the back at fullback for the Force. She's just an attacking threat. She has been bubbling away for the past few years, but I think this is the season where she's really going to break out. Mitch, did you see anyone from the Rebels side who really put their hand up? We saw some interesting selections.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Grace Hamilton and seeing her back for the back in Australian rugby after so long overseas, and the talk is that she's heading back over there in the future. So great to see her back playing in Australia. Ash Masters has just gone from strength to strength, and seeing her play more minutes for the Rebels is just so exciting.
What did you think of her at centre? I was really surprised to see her lining up at 13, but I mean, she plays like a centre the way that she runs around.
It was one of those things that we were talking about. Well, sorry, it is a thing that we were talking about when the teams were named last week, that unlike the men's game, in the women's, you see players move around positions so much more freely. Like Ash Masters, for example, she's played hooker, she's played back row, now she's playing centres, and she has that versatility that she's able to do any and all of it with ease. You definitely wouldn't see that in the 15-man men's code. You don't see players that have played the majority of their career in the centres just towards the end move towards blind side or open side flanker. So it's not, she's not the only one. There are other players across the Wallaroos and across the competition that have played, that are moving around between the backs and the forwards as well. So it's, I think it's a really unique element of the women's game that we don't see as much of. And it's just exciting to sit, that you can have a player as good as Ash Masters and sort of just go, she's not getting enough ball playing number six. Let's put her in the centers and see how she goes. And she just, she takes it, the opportunity with both hands, and just absolutely excels.
Yeah, she was great. You know, steps off both feet, took to the line really well. Probably guilty of trying to push a few passes close to her try line, a couple of those flick passes out of the right hand going astray, but she'll be a huge threat. And I think the Rebels will be as well. They were a bit of their own worst enemy in the second half. They gained away 9 penalties. They lost a bit of their composure. I think there was a yellow card in there as well. So if they can reduce those errors in the back end and just make those passes stick, even not give them, just let the players like Masters, Hamilton, your strike runners wider, carry forward so those great support players like Mel Kawa can get over the ball and keep that recycle going. So green shoots for both sides, but I think we're pretty impressed with that hit out from the Force.
I can see what you're doing here, Lockie. You're trying to talk about a game that doesn't feature the Waratahs as much as possible, so you don't have to talk about how dominant the Tahs were in the opening round of the competition.
A vein sprung.
Let's get into it, because how good was this performance from the New South Wales Waratahs? A statement game in opening their campaign in 2024. Can they go all the way? Of course they can. They have the talent across the board. They've shown that. This display against the Brumbies, 45-10 was the final score. And unfortunately for the Brumbies, it just never looked like their night. The Waratahs started this game with intent and just made mincemeat of every opportunity that they got and were deadly with ball in hand.
Oh, stop to go. It was a blue wave. I think that's the easiest way to say it. We know Ando was down there with his kids cheering on the Tahs girls, and it was great to see a small but vocal crowd, I think you could say, at Allianz Building for that game. And weren't they treated to a show? You know, Maya Stewart goes over for a hat-trick. You had great performances from, I thought in particular, Piper Duck on her return into footy. She was everywhere, scored a good try. And the player that I'd love to talk about, Mitch, Waira Ellis, Bubba Ellis, 16 years old, equals the record that Caitlin Howe set up. And she carved up the Brumbies. It wasn't a, oh, I'm 16 and I'm pretty good. She's 16 and she's the best attacking weapon they've got through the middle. She was outrageous.
Yeah, she's going to have a massive season this year. She's going to be a star of the future for sure. 100 cap Wallaroo, without a doubt. You've heard it here first. But, you know, we were talking in our group chat that when she came on, or even in the shots of her warming up, that she probably had the smallest jersey that was possible to be made for a women's player, and yet it looked big on her. It looked like it didn't fit properly. It was too big for her. But once she got on the field, she's just so electric. It didn't matter, and it didn't matter that she's going up against players triple her size. She's just so fast, so electric, able to step anyone inside a phone box, that she was just running rings around anyone who even attempted to tackle her. Really, really exciting to see the skill set from a player who, as you said, is 16. She's the equal youngest player to play for the Waratahs, and potentially even I don't know if this exact stat, but the youngest player to play, or equal youngest player to play in Super Rugby Women's ever, which is incredible, and didn't look out of skill or overawed at all.
No, not at all. And I think what she added with her ability to break the line and find soft shoulders to go through, it typified that dominance that the Tahs had. They had 15 line breaks to the Brumbies, none. That's how much go forward the Tahs had. And it came off the back of that huge work in the pack. I thought Emily Robinson was massive up the middle, along with Bridie O'Gorman. The scrums were strong. You saw great shifts around the back row as well. We mentioned Piper Duck, but M Chance before she went off, and the engine room was just class. It was a complete performance. I've got to be honest. I hate to say it for the Tahs, but it was complete. And I would be very worried watching on as a Super Rugby Women's rival when you see the Tahs getting that vein of form. So really interested to see how week two pans out, because they've got a huge game coming up. We'll touch on it in a tick, because it involves the Fijian Drua and the Queensland Reds women, a grand final replay from last year, Mitch. Before we get into it, did you have a tip for this game before the weekend, and what was it?
Look, I can't go past the Fijiana and Drua when it comes to Super Rugby Women's. I think they were the team last year, and we saw last year that they took a while to build into their season, and they didn't come into that finals series as the most competitive or the most impressive team to watch, but they got that scalp against New South Wales. They made it through to the final, and they absolutely smashed the Reds in that final. Well and truly deserved winners of that competition last year. If they can go three years in a row, we're going to have to start talking about them as the new dynasty holders of rugby in, or the new dynasty Super Rugby holders, considering that the Crusaders have what's happened with them and they've just fallen off a cliff. Hopefully, touch wood, that the New South Wales women can get the title back this year and get it back off them. But yeah, leading into this game, very much heavily leading towards the Andrua, but I was not unimpressed with the Queensland Reds either.
It was a funny old game, Mitch. I thought it was really evenly matched until about the 15 minutes from time. So the score was poised at 22-21 to the Drua. The Reds had just scored a great try through young Shalom Sosur, who came on at 16 years old and is another teenager carving up the Super Women's competition. We're going to be stuck here forever if we talk about all the incredible rugby talent under 18. But so yeah, 22-21, the Drua lead. They've just conceded that try and they come out just a minute after the Reds hit back and cross straight away through Salida Weisager. And from there, the game was toast. I think the Drua's attacking ability was unstoppable. They were so strong in contact. They were so quick to recycle. And I think the Reds really struggled to keep up with the pace that the Drua were able to offer from particularly broken play, but also just around general. I think we are constantly surprised, and we shouldn't be, when we see every year the Fijiana turning up and they are the fittest, they're the strongest, and they're still the most skillful. It's a testament to the program that they run over there. And sure, you look at a 11-point margin and think, oh, it's pretty close. End of the day, they scored 6-3. Like, their attack was humming the Fijiana Drua. But still, like we mentioned,
stat,
for the
if there's one stat forced, that you're talking about that really stands out in this game to look at, that's a bit of a summation of what this game was, it's the offload stats. 17 offloads by the Andrua to 6 by the Reds. We know as rugby fans and, I guess, coaches going into games against Fijian teams that you want to try and stifle their attack. You want to try and hold the ball up, lock it up, try and prevent them from getting that offload, because if they can get free, fast-flowing ball, any Fijian team is deadly. And we really saw that in this game. The fact they were able to move the ball around so quickly really kept those Reds women on their feet and trying to make those decisions, those one-on-one encounters. Ultimately that's what allowed them to score those points.
And they weren't lateral offloads either, Mitch. They were offloads going forward. So in the end, the Fijiana carried twice as far with ball in hand than the Reds. They carried for over 760 metres to the Reds 350. They were on song, those pop balls, that delivery was excellent, and it resulted in them going 12 line breaks to 2. So I think the Reds actually did very well to scramble and be able to defend their line for those patches. They're also helped by some pretty poor conversions. Fijiana weren't great off the tee from memory. I think they only converted one of their 6 tries. So it could have been a lot worse for the Reds. They'll take plenty out of it. And tell you what, I am buzzing to see the Tars travel to Churchill Park this weekend to tackle Fijiana and Fiji. We've got a double header in Fiji.
It's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. We'll get to our previews in a minute, but I've got one question for you before we move on. And it's a bit on the spot, so hopefully you have a minute to think what your answer is. But who is your player of the round? If you had to pick one player that stood out to you, you might have already mentioned her, but if there's one player out of the first round of Super Rugby Women's in 2024 that impressed you, you're really excited to see more of, who is it?
Honestly, I think it was Mac Leonard. It's okay. So easy to pick out someone who was scoring tries, carving up in the back line, but to see a second rower play a full 80 minutes, lead her side around to a resounding win, and also have that set piece tied up, I thought it was a really complete performance from her. And it reeks to me, Mitch, of someone who is comfortable and settled, and so much of that comes to the security of a 2-year contract. You're not playing for your career. You're not worried about work on the side. She's got 2 years locked into Perth where she can 100% dial in and deliver these kinds of performances. So Macklin's my pick.
My pick's Piper Duck. You mentioned her in your sort of summation of that Waratahs win, but just really impressed with the way that she played the game. Like, she's pretty much had all of 2023 off the park with a knee, with a season-ending injury, taking time to get back. Missed the Wallaroos campaign at the end of the year, which she was hoping to get back for. So that kind of pressure and coming into your first game, you would forgive her for being a little bit timid, a little bit holding back and not quite sort of, you know, not committing to every single ruck or hitting every single line break that you see available. But she did not do that. She was running the ball at pace. She was making line breaks. She was smashing girls on the park. She had a really, really massive involvement, and it was really awesome to see her back playing for the Waratahs. And not that we've missed her per se, but just having her back on the field, you could see that there was, when she wasn't there last year, the leadership that she brings as the captain. I mean, there are other players that can fill in that position for her, but I just think the way that she makes those line breaks and supports, it's almost Fraser McWright-esque, how she's always there in support when there is a line break made. So having her back on the field is awesome. I really just hope that she can get a full season this season and have some massive involvements for the Wallaroos later in the year.
And Mitch, we forget she's only 22. She has so much footy ahead of her, and how terrific when we can say that the two standout players from Super Rugby Women's Round 1 are the previous and the incumbent Wallaroos captains. That speaks volumes of that program and the hype from last year coming into 2024, where women's rugby's on the up, the Wallaroos are on the up, and those top performers from our past few seasons are really stamping their authority.
And no doubt that's exactly what Joe Yap wants to be seeing at this point of the competition, that us as fans and podcasters are highlighting the players of the round, and we're talking about former captains, the leaders of the team and the tournament. So, yeah, really excited to see how she can pull all of the talent from these six teams or five teams into one later in the season. Let's keep moving now. And we might do our previews of Super Rugby Pacific Round 5 and Super Rugby Women's Round 2 at the end of the podcast together. So now let's move into our kind of, not mid-season, but mid-mid-season, maybe, preview or discussion point on the Australian Super Rugby sides. So we're last weekend was round 4 of the competition, where this weekend is round 5. As it stands now currently, we have 3 Australian teams in the top 8. We have the Queensland Reds in 2nd, the ACT Brumbies in 5th, the Melbourne Rebels in 7th, the Waratahs just out of that in 9th, and unfortunately the Western Force in 12th. Now, how do you want to structure this conversation, Lockie? What sort of factors should we focus on for the first 4 or so rounds of competition for these Aussie teams?
Yeah, I think we're going to give this a pretty simple assessment, Mitch. We're going to run through each of the 5 teams and give them a score from 1 to 10. 1 being you're right down the bottom, you're in trouble. 10 being you're high flying. I don't think we'll have either of those extremes, but that's where we're going to situate them, and we're going to give a short brief on why we think they're there as well. So I think we'll get started, Mitch, with the Western Force down the bottom of the ladder and work our way up from there. So I think to get us started, I'm going to jump in now and I'm going to give the Force a 3 out of 10 to get started.
That's harsh. That is harsh. Now, the Western Force, they have played 4 games. They have yet to get a win. They have come close, but they have yet to get that win. They're currently sitting down the bottom of the comp in 12th spot with 1 bonus point. Their 4 and against is negative 55. Now, we're not necessarily focused on that for all the teams, but I just wanted to let that be known, that out of everyone in the competition, they have the worst for and against, which is, I think is a pretty accurate reflection of their first opening 4 rounds. Coming into this season in our previews, we were really optimistic of some of the talent that they've got. Nick White coming in, Ben Donaldson, Harry Potter, Isaac Fiennes-Liuasa getting a full season when he's fit. We just haven't seen this team fire yet. And Simon Cron said so in the press conference of that last week's loss to Moana Pacifica, that he thought that was the worst game of football or rugby he's ever seen. So he started the press conference with an apology to the fans. this is not the opening four rounds of the competition that he would have been wanting. And it's hard for the Western Force fans to continue to buy into a team when that performance against Moana Pacifica last week, they looked lost in multiple periods of that game. They're in and out of games at the moment. They're not putting in a cohesive 80-minute performance. So if I had to give them a score out of 10, as harsh as it sounds, I'm probably going to give them a 2.
Oh, you called a 3 harsh. Jeez. I think we're rating
this. Talk myself into it.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's because I think we had higher expectations going into the season. It's not so much the Cronny Kool-Aid, although he does make an excellent batch. It's more about the fact that there have been moments in this season already where the game's been on the line. I'm thinking specifically of the Brumbies game and the Rebels game. Two trips away from home where they had it on a platter to take that and really stamp themselves as a team who can win away and who can grind out tough wins, and they let it slip only to go back home against Moana and serve that up. I think both their home games against the Canes and Moana have been, frankly, not Super Rugby standard. But we know from the Rebels game and from the Brumbies game that they can take Aussie teams to task, really good sides stacked with talent, and put the pressure on them. They had both those games ready to roll, and I'm frustrated that they weren't able to do it. I want a strong Western Force. I think they have the cattle to get there. I know that we talk about them maybe not having the same depth, but that starting side and the impact they can bring off the bench, the likes of White and Donaldson, the Wallabies like Fines Liliuasa, like there are plenty of talent in there, but it's not clicking. It's not clicking. And this weekend when they host the Reds, even as a Reds fan, I want to see the Force go out there and take the Queenslanders to task. Show us what you're made of.
Take the heads off and get a scalp.
Take a scalp. Take a scalp. We want to see this for the competition. So until then, you're a 2 from Mitch and a 3 from me.
Yeah, it's the frustrating thing from the Western Force at the moment, and you sort of touched on this in your monologue there, is that they're playing like a team of individuals. Like, they're not playing as a cohesive unit. We've got talents of guys like Harry Potter, Ben Donaldson, who are having really positive injections at times. But then the next play, they either turn the ball over or they make a break and then they force the pass and it ends up being knocked on. And so we saw that in the opening game against the Hurricanes, like you said, and their last game against Moana Pacifica. Not great. We'll take those away. But there was improvement in the loss to the Rebels and the loss to the Brumbies. And they were in both of those games in the driving seat, and they took their feet off the pedal. And so if we can get that full 80-minute performance from this squad, if we can get them playing together like a unit, they have the capacity to be playing a lot better and to chase teams more than they're doing at the moment. They're just not consistently putting teams under pressure for long periods of time, and then they're just allowing teams to sort of take control, which is really frustrating. And I know our Western Force fans must be tearing their hair out. So really big game and opportunity this week against the Queensland Reds. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's move on to the next Aussie side. And on the table, that is the New South Wales Waratahs, the men in blue. So they currently sit 1 from 4, 1 game won, 3 games lost. They're in 9th place. But interestingly, their for and against is -9 points. And if you look at their last 2 games against the Highlanders and this weekend against the Blues, they lost both of those games by 2 points. So very, very close and very, like, a flip of a coin, really, both of those games at times. Lockie, if you were to give the Waratahs so far this season a score out of 10, where are you going?
I'm giving them a 5 at the moment. And the reason that I'm giving them a 5 is because they were able to grab those bonus points against the Blues and the Highlanders. But I really feel, and I'm sure you do too as well, if the Tars are 3-1 rather than 1-3, and it's just down to a couple of kicks, Australian rugby would be humming, even
be
more
12
than
out
the
of
buzzes
10.
Around Ballymore.
12
you'd
out
be,
of 10.
You'd be absolutely flying at the moment. It's just those tiny margins that the Tars need to fix. I don't think it's a goal-kicking thing per se. Everyone needs to improve their goal-kicking, and especially given the Blues missed, 5? Perifetta had a stinker. Yep. Off the tee in that Blues game. So we can't put it down to that, but it's the ability to close out those tough ones that used to typify the Tars sort of 10, 12 years ago in their premiership era. It was that ability to grind out games where you're not playing well. And that's what we need to see from the Tars. I think heading into this weekend, a really tough away game at Fiji. That's going to be a huge litmus test for the Tars. Can they beat Tartuffe? They talk about Tartuffe this year. That's really being pushed hard. This is going to be their biggest test so far, heading into the world's worst away game, we can probably agree, for Super Rugby, heading over to Fiji, and we're going to get a measure of them there. So at the moment, they're half and half. They're a 5 out of 10. What do you rate them so far, Mitch?
Oh, I'd love to rate them a 7 or an 8, and purely for the way that they're playing, I would love to I'd want to score them that. If we compare the way that they opened their campaign 4 rounds in 2023 to 2024, we're so much closer. We're playing better footy. We're playing more as a team. Like, it is much closer. But the fact is, you can't get more than 6 out of 10 if you've only won 1 from 3. And as frustrating as it is, like, as we said, it's a flip of the coin for some of those kicks to go over. And we could be talking about it, you know, a 3 wins, 1 loss record. And everyone's up and about for the Tars and we're packing out the stadiums again. It hasn't eventuated. And one of the frustrations for mine, watching the game on the weekend against the Blues. Now, I did watch this delayed because I was in Melbourne and had something else on, and I did know the score watching this, so I think hindsight does eat into what I'm about to say a little bit more. But at halftime, the Waratahs had penalty advantage in the Blues 22, and they're going phase after phase. I think they racked up something like 9 or 11 phases of just trying to, you know, pick and drive over the line, which in itself is fine, a tactic for Australian rugby. Let's get the 7 points and go ahead there. But they were only down by 1 or 2 points at that point. And like we saw again in England, getting that win against Ireland last week in the Six Nations, if Tane Edmed, or I don't even know who else, can kick for the Waratahs, Mark Nuanganituasi, drops into the pocket and takes a shot at goal with a full arm advantage. Even if he misses, we get another shot. But what ends up happening is we keep eventually going and going and going, to the point that we turn over or we lose our advantage and then we turn it over. And so we come away with nothing. It's just that I guess it's a bit more systematic of Australian rugby at the moment. Is we're not focused on just getting points and being game aware in moments. If we had come away with 2-3 points in that endeavor, then, you know, we're a lot closer and we come down to the end of the game and we score that try, go ahead and we win the game. But that's not the way that it eventuated. And so hindsight definitely eats into that. But, I mean, we can see that across all teams that we're a little bit too try-hungry. We're not necessarily just reliant on kicking field goals and penalties when those opportunities present themselves either. So, yeah, back to the original question. I've gone on a tangent there. But I'm going with 6. Do you give them a 5?
I gave them a 5. I think a 6 is generous, but I appreciate state bias. And when I give my Reds a 12, you'll understand.
Yeah. We'll see when we get there. Next team in the Australian Conference is the Melbourne Rebels. They're currently in 7th. They have got 2 wins to their name. Their for and against is negative 34, though. So say what you will about negative 9 to the Waratahs. The Melbourne Rebels are sitting on negative 34, but they have got 2 wins to their name. We're not necessarily talking about at this point or in this wrap-up or prediction point discussion the teams that have been played. So when you compare where the Melbourne Rebels are sitting in 7th, they have got their 2 victories over the Western Force and Moana Pacifica. Now, the Waratahs have conversely come very close, but lost to the Highlanders and the Blues. So I think we just need to highlight that as a factor when we're considering these scores as well. With taking that into account, Lockie, what do you rate the Melbourne Rebels, and why is it a 3 out of 10?
Well, funnily enough, I'm actually going to give the Rebels the same as the Tars. I'm going to give them a 5. And the
that
reason
hurts.
Is not only because they're one
that right
game
in the heart
over the Tars. That's right, just the wrong shade of blue. I'm impressed with the Rebels insofar as they have been able to close out games that they've been in. But the flip side of that is, they've also been spectacularly blown out of the water by teams that aren't scrapping at their current level. You look at round one, getting absolutely pummeled by the Brumbies at home, and then again, getting their backside handed to them by the Reds at home. So that's 2 domestic rivals You can say that it wasn't a drubbing in both those games, but especially that Reds one, aside from a 10-minute patch after halftime where they scored three, it was pretty much one-way traffic, and that was the story of both of those games. When you consider as well, the Rebels have had a very forgiving draw. They've had three at home to start, including the Super Round, plus an away trip against Moana in front of an empty crowd. It's about as good as you can get to start with. So it disappoints me that they're not higher. I actually felt like they could have jagged one of those other home games. So I'm giving them a 5 because it's a pass, but it's just, it were just on that line at the moment. It's like the C-minus of rugby, if it feels like, for the Rebels. And I need to see a win from them that makes me confident for further games. I wasn't confident watching that game against the Force where they had to pull it back dramatically. I wasn't confident watching them go over against Moana, who admittedly have been quite a positive team this year, but it was never convincing for me from the Rebels. So I'm waiting for that statement performance. Maybe it's unfair of me, but they haven't told me that they are here to smash themselves into finals for the first time and be a team of influence. What do you read on them?
I'm going to give them a 4. Now, before I talk too much around their positives, I've gone harsh on the scoring mainly due to how optimistic I was in our preview episodes earlier in the year about pumping up their tires, the players that they've signed, that this is their year to really represent. I think I had them finishing in the top 3 of the competition. So I'm really disappointed to see how they've gone in the first 4 rounds. 2 from 4 is a good record. Like, they're in the 7th. Like, they've done what they can. Focusing on the positives before we probably dive too much more into their negatives, that the second half comeback against the Reds, as like I was at that game. We were at the Rebels game in Melbourne to see that, and we will talk about the Reds a little bit more when we get to them on this in this chat. And impressive as they were, the Rebels did actually show up after halftime and were scoring good points and were putting the Reds under pressure. But the other side of that coin is they also let in 2 really easy intercept tries that took the pressure completely back out of that momentum that they had built. So as good as it was to see them sort of wake up at halftime and whatever Kevin Foote told them really did get them back into that game, they came out in that second half and just allowed the opposition, they just allowed those easy tries to the Reds, which then meant that the score that they were chasing got so much blown out that you could see their heads dropped. So, yeah, they have the talent. They have the ability to play really good footy, and they can score points when they sort of get on a roll, but we just haven't seen enough of that this season. Taniela Tupou as well has just, I don't know whether it's a coaching thing, and I don't know whether it's a motivation thing. I don't know whether he's actually got some injuries that is affecting his, or he's not fully fit and ready to actually contribute big minutes at Super Rugby, but he's been really underwhelming so far this season. I think he got through 25, maybe 30 minutes against the Reds and didn't have much involvement in that and came off really early to Sammy Talakai, who came on and lifted momentum and lifted tempo for them when he did come on. That's not what you want to see from your marquee signing. So they really need to arrest that momentum before they continue to, as they continue into this competition.
Yeah, I agree. And just before we move on up to the Brumbies, I worry for the Rebels, given their next 6 matches are going to be tough. They've got the Canes coming up this weekend. Then they go away to Sydney, to the Tars, who have been so close these past few weeks. Then they go Fiji, Highlanders, Crusaders, Blues. Like, they could conceivably easily lose the next 6 on the trot, and then you're in a real hole. So a massive, massive test of character coming up for Melbourne.
And we've also started to see some things come out in the media. Filippo Dalgunu wasn't available for selection last week, isn't available this week as well. We don't know what other things, like, at the moment, there's just bad news coming out every single week for the Rebels. We don't know what other effects are coming and what other players are going to start not being able to be selected due to whatever's going on off the field. So as Filippo has been brilliant for the Rebels this season, he's had really, really strong involvements for them. We want to see him playing big minutes for them. We want to see him getting that body of work together so that Joe Schmidt has no qualms in putting him into a Wallabies 23 later in the season. But at the moment, if whatever's happening off the field for the Rebels isn't allowing their best players to actually play, that's the worst part about it. Our best players in Australian rugby aren't playing on the field for things that are happening off the field. It's just, it's a snowball that's waiting to happen, which is really disappointing. Let's keep moving. We'll go into the ACT Brumbies. They're currently sitting in fifth place. They've got 3 wins and 1 loss, currently with a for and against of 2 points. Lockie, how have you found the Brumbies so far this season?
Brumbies have been my favourite team to read about this year because Canberra fans are so fickle, aren't they? They're 3-1, and I'm seeing on social media Brumbies fans going, oh, they're terrible this year. You know, I can't believe the games that I'm seeing. Yet they've beaten the Kiwi team over the ditch just in the past week. They broke an 11-year drought in Dunedin.
Yep.
So there are positives and great things coming out of Canberra, but it's not as smooth. It's not as smooth as the Brumbies machine we're used to. And for that reason, I'm going to give them a 6. I'm going to give them a 6 because I expected better of the Brumbies in their showing against the Chiefs. I thought they were really blown away. And that game against the Force left me with more questions than answers about the makeup of their side. But I'm not going to give them any lower because to win away and break that duck against the Landers is terrific. I think the Landers have been a pretty good side as well. And their first up performance against the Rebels was pretty clinical. So plenty to like about the Brumbies so far. I think a 6 is probably on the harsh side, but fair, given they're yet to fully fire. And I'm really excited to see how they go over the next few weeks when they do have more Aussie teams in their sights. I think maybe it's not this week, but they have back-to-back games coming up against Aussie sides. I think they're away to the Reds and they're home to the Tars over the next month. So we're going to get a really good assessment, I think, of this next 3 weeks. Who is the top Aussie dog? At the moment, the Reds are there on the ladder, but that can very quickly change. And it's a really good and exciting time to watch these derby games. So it's a 6 from me. How about you, Mitch?
I'm also going to give them a 6. I think I wanted to give them a 5, but you can't give a team a 5 when they've won 3 from 4 games. Like, that's all they need to do, right? You can't ask any more of them. Maybe they could have won some of those with bonus points, but regardless, they've done that. So that gives them the 6. I don't think, looking at their victories though, I mean, as I said before, and the point that I brought up for the Waratahs, when you compare the teams that they've actually played and they've won against, I don't know if it's as impressive as some of the other teams, particularly the Reds so far this season. Their best performance for mine so far this year has been that opening game against the Rebels, but they weren't troubled. They weren't put under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. The first game that they were put under a lot of pressure was the Chiefs and they folded. So I still have questions moving forward for this Brumbies team. I think they did very, very well to come back into their game last week against the Highlanders and to claw that victory. But at halftime, the Highlanders were well and truly in control of that. And it did look like at points like they were going to go on and win that game. And then we've got massive questions to ask of what Bernie Luckham is doing with this team this season. The fact that they were able to arrest that momentum and get themselves back into the game and win that with more than a score was impressive from the boys from Canberra. So, yeah, I'll give them a 6, but I'm still not 100% sure if they're as good as they have been in past seasons. When we look at who they have won against, they've got a victory against the Rebels in that opening round. They've then also beaten the Western Force, but by 3 points. That could very well have gone the other way, that game. And that was their first home game of the season too. So, yeah, again, not 100% certain of where this Brumbies team is heading this year, but there's so much more improvement for them to come.
So much more. And I think one thing the Brumbies have done better than almost any other Australian team, and I'd say they've been doing it better than the Reds as well, is the impact they have off the bench. Mm-hmm. I've been really impressed with. So the shifts against the Force, we saw Blake Shop come on and dominate. The impact off the bench against the Highlanders again, I thought was really impressive as well because they were able to put those 2 tries on them and claw that win back at nice late score to Lachie Lonergan. So the Brumbies and the depth that they have is proving pivotal. I think them winning ugly games like this as well is great for Aussie rugby because, like we mentioned with the Tars, winning those tough games where you're not at your best is critical. It's critical for your confidence. It's critical for those mid-season games to tally up and make sure that you are in that top 4 rather than the bottom 4. I think we all as Australian rugby fans, you know, if you're not on the Brumbies bandwagon, you still want them to do well. You still want them to be a leading Aussie side and getting up so we have that home semi-finalist down the track. And I think that the next 3 weeks, we're going to see the Brumbies either go up and stamp themselves right at the top or prove that they actually have plateaued over these past few years. But yeah, I think six in the six, that's a pretty fair assessment. Time to move on to your favourite team.
Queensland Reds, currently sitting second on the table. How they got there, I do not know. No. similar to the Brumbies, they've won three, lost one. Their for and against is positive 46. So they have the best for and against of any Australian team at the moment. They currently have 15 points on the table. They've got, I don't actually have the bonus points there, but they have got bonus points from their loss and the, I think two of their victories this season. So yeah, the Queensland Reds, right, Lockie? They're looking the good so far. I'm going to make sure you have to score them under 10 points. Oh, 10 points is the limit. We can't be going anything crazy like 26. What is your score for the Queensland Reds?
I won't do that. I think an 8 is fair. I don't think they've been a 9 or a 10. They haven't. You know, they're not 4 from 4. I think if they were 4 from 4, we'd have to give them a 9 or a 10. But they lost that extra time to the Canes, and they've had moments where they have pulled the gas off, like against the Rebels, that slot after halftime. And post-game, you know, Les Kiss, Reds coach was filthy. He was absolutely filthy that they let in those tries.
Oh, he was filthy at halftime, apparently, before they even let them in. Like his halftime press interview apparently was pretty fired up as well.
He does set a high bar from what we can see. And I think an 8 is fair in the sense that they have improvement in them. And I think all Australian rugby fans, regardless of whether you go for Tars, Brums, Force, Rebels, you want to see Aussie teams doing well. And it's a big test for them over the next few weeks to see whether they can go into that top echelon, whether they can stamp themselves as, yes, we are top two. We are potential contenders. Because if you drop these upcoming games, and there are lots of derbies, they've got the Force, they've got the Brumbies, they've got a stack of games that they need to be winning. If they drop one of these, you start to doubt. And I think doubt is really important at this point in time. So here's what they've got coming up. They've got Force, Brumbies, Moana, and Highlanders. So all teams that are below them on the ladder, all teams that are roughly at this point going to be mid-table. Well, that's the thing. If they bank out four, then we go, geez, the Reds are the real deal. They can win away. They can win away, you know, in, I think they're off to Samoa for that game as well. So it's a huge test. And it's not like, you need to beat, you know, the Blues in Eden Park or the Crusaders in Christchurch. These are games against evenly matched teams around Australia. They need to start banking. And Reds of the past 5 years haven't been able to do that. So it's an 8 from me. I think it can go up, but what I'm more worried about is them having a banana peel moment against the Force, which we'll talk about in a tick, and sliding back down to, you know, that mid-table range where they could miss a home quarter.
I really want to give them an 8.5, but I think I'll stick with 8 like you did. 8.5 purely from my observations of watching them play in person against the Rebels on the weekend. Now, say what you will about the performance the Rebels put out, and yes, they had that sort of ascendancy after halftime where they put the Reds under some pressure. But outside of that maybe 15 minutes in the start of the second half, the Queensland Reds were not troubled by the Rebels, and everything that they did was good. They did not make mistakes. Les Kiss, yes, said in his interview at halftime that he wanted them to score more points. I think he said that there was three tries that they ended up bombing. As someone who's sitting in the stands watching that game, maybe I was too busy enjoying my Rebels burger. I did not see three tries get bombed. I thought they looked clinical. And they, as a unit, as a team, as an Australian rugby team, which we have not seen for years, since maybe the Waratahs in 2014, towards the end of that season when they were getting that ascendancy, every single decision that players made was the right one. And whether that was the fact that the Rebels were just not troubling them and they weren't under a heap of pressure, I don't really know. But they looked good against the Chiefs last week as well. So it just watching them play in person, the thing that you get with Australian Super Rugby players often is that 50-50 decision that they make when they make a line break. They'll bust a tackle and then you sort of see them look in space and they go, oh, what do I do next? Do I put it on the toe? Do I run into contact or do I try and find the offload? and they don't have that decision, and they end up sort of making two at once and sort of go to chip and then end up knocking it on. The Reds don't do that. They just, every single time I saw them enter the Brumbies 22, they knew what they needed to do. They made the right decisions. They hit the right holes. They didn't throw silly offloads. They went into contact. Their ruck speed was really, really fast. It was really exciting to watch an Australian Super Rugby team not just play good rugby, but just make the right decisions consistently. If they continue to play at that level throughout the rest of the season, there's no reason why they can't trouble the Chiefs again or beat the Hurricanes next time they play them. If they can keep this up, they have the blueprint to win Super Rugby Pacific in 2024.
Every call that we've heard over the past 10 years on Stan, on Fox, whatever, has always lamented at some extent the loss of Australian rugby being the smart team, being the smart footy players, you know, being the innovators. We're now starting to see that with the Reds. It's still early doors. We're not going to get too excited. And that's why I'm very consciously restraining myself from jumping too hard at how the Reds have started, because it is exciting. Beating the Chiefs in the manner that they did it, brilliant. Brilliant stuff. I'm hanging on to it. But I want to see that smart footy continue. I want to see that cohesion continue, because they're looking like a well-oiled machine. Let's see if it stalls or stumbles over these next few weeks against the likes of the Force and against the likes of the Brumbies. That's the test. That's the test for the Reds. Can they make this a season-long effort, not just four hot weeks where everyone's excited and then it goes off the boil again?
And that's another positive for me that makes me want to give them that extra half a point, 8.5, that I thought last weekend against the Rebels traveling down to Melbourne was the banana peel game. That was the game in years gone by where after three incredible performances in the season, going into extra time against the Hurricanes, then beating the Chiefs, you could forgive a young team of just not being able to maintain that pace, that excitement, that level of commitment at that level. And they come into a game against the Rebels and the Rebels put them under pressure and win. In the past, we would have seen that from this team. The fact that they put in such a dominant performance against the Rebels, and again, I said before, I'll say it again, the Rebels didn't really trouble them a lot in defense. They weren't committing to tackles. They weren't pressuring the breakdown. But the Reds didn't look like the Reds looked strong. And they haven't looked like, at this point, like falling away out of games. They've hung through and they continued to put pressure on the Rebels. They held them out. They got the rest of that momentum back when they got that ascendancy and continued to score points. So, I mean, yeah, not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but I don't think this is the Queensland Reds that we've seen under Brad Thorne in the past, where we can expect them to all of a sudden fall off a cliff. I think Les Kiss has got them humming in a way that's exciting, and we will see them continue to improve in coming weeks. I hope.
The lid's still on. Let's be honest, the lid's still on, but it's so close to being off. It's so close to being off. If we get to round seven, and the Reds have knocked over the Brumbies, they head over and, you know, knock over a couple of these Kiwi teams at home and on the way, that's when we start getting excited. There's a huge block coming up for all our Aussie sides, actually. Can they get through this mid-season as winners? And we're going to find out. We're going to start, though, by previewing very quickly our Super Rugby Women's Round 2. We've got a cracking game to start. Two teams coming off the loss to begin with, the Brumbies hosting the Rebels. Mitch, how do you see this one going at GAO Stadium?
Yeah, as much as I'd love to see the Brumbies get the win here and bounce back their first performance at home for the season for the Women's, I just think the Rebels showed a little bit more in their loss to the Force last week, so I'm going to tip the Rebels.
That's interesting. I think the Rebels showed more as well, but Brums at home, I reckon they'll be stinging after that Tars performance. I think they also just have a lot of test class in that Brumbies team that didn't put their hands up week one. We didn't see Jay Hurawai, Vitala Maleka, Pesi Palu really stamp themselves. I think first home game up against the Rebs, I think they'll be the ones putting the hammer down. So I'm going to say Brumbies by 7.
I'm calling it now. Ash Masters is going under for an intercept. 79th minute to win the game for the Rebels. You heard it here first.
I love that call. Moving on to the one that, frankly, we're both the most excited for this weekend for the Women's Round 2. Fijiana Drua hosting New South Wales Waratahs. Both teams coming off try-scoring performances at Churchill Park. Who wins this one, Mitch?
One thing, before we get into this game, one thing that's excited me most about the way that the Fijian rugby or whoever has structured the setup for this weekend's game, this is actually the headlining act. The men play at like 12 p.m. Sydney time, which is like 1 something their time. Like they play before the women. And so everyone is here to see the Fijiana Indrua smash the Waratahs. And so, as it should be, because it's going to be a cracking game. I'm into the game now. I'm really interested to see how the Tars travel. It's not something that we've seen a lot of in Super W in the past, or Super Rugby Women's this season. The Fiji element has been troublesome for teams in the past. The Waratahs have never played in Fiji. So it'll be really interesting to see if they can front up after a big win last week and the pressure that the Fijian will put him under. My heart says Waratahs, my head says Indrua.
I'm actually going to flip on the Tars on this one. I think that performance against the Brumbies was so clinical. While the Fijiana, even though their attack was fantastic, the Reds still scored 3 tries, including a penalty try, nice and close to the line. So I'm worried that Fijiana's discipline with all the energy at home could fail. So I think we're going to see the Tars shake that monkey and take down the Drua away. I'm going to call Tars by 3.
It's going to be a packed house, though. Like, there will be Fijians hanging off trees to cheer on the Drua. So I just don't know if the Waratahs, they definitely haven't played under those sort of circumstances before, particularly some of the younger players. So I just think that that might be enough to spur the Drua home. But yeah, I'd love to see the Tars beat them too. The last game of the round is the Western Force hosting the Queensland Reds. That's 5 o'clock kickoff Sydney time on Saturday afternoon. We saw the Western Force look good last week. The Queensland Reds also looked good in patches. Do you think Michaela Leonard's girls have enough to get over the girls in red this weekend?
Honestly, this one's the hardest one to pick this week. I feel as though the Force at home have a real shot at knocking over the Reds coming off a loss. And the Force, we're yet to see them in Super Rugby Women's Finals. I think that this is their year. And I really believe that the caliber of that pack will test the Reds and possibly get the wood on them. So I'm going to say it's Force take this at home.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with the Force. I think, it'd be fantastic to see the Force win a game this year. Yeah. And men's or women's. And so, yeah, if they can do it against the Queensland Reds as well, even better, right? So, yeah, all power to the Western Force at home. Let's get the Queensland Reds out of the finals in 2024, hey? Let's move across now to Super Rugby Pacific Round 5. And the opening game of the weekend sees the Hurricanes hosting the Rebels. This is a massive, massive task for the Rebels to go across to Wellington and play the Hurricanes, who have not won a game yet, have not lost a game yet, came very close against your men in red, but they were able to get the victory there. So they're 4 from 4. Can the Rebels cause an upset here?
Well, my head's telling me no, and my heart probably says the same as well at this point. I think the Canes have been too classy. The fact that they were able to sort of shake off some of those yips and post the win over, what was it, the Blues and the Crusaders. Like, they've beaten big teams. They've beaten big teams this year. They went Blues and Crusaders in the past 2 weeks. And while the Reds and the Force games earlier don't seem much chop now, they still won those games on Aussie soil. So this is a Canes team that's humming, and I don't think the Rebels have the gas to go with them for 80. So I think the Canes take this by double digits.
Yeah, I'm also going Canes. I can't see a way that the Rebels are able to just stifle their attack and slow the ball down enough to really trouble the Canes. Second game on Friday night sees the Brumbies hosting Moana Pacifica. Now, if you are a Canberra-based player, a Canberra-based fan, Super Rugby fan, make sure you show up and support the boys. The crowd numbers have been pretty bad these last few weeks. And is this the second home game for the Brumbies this season? This is an opportunity.
Yep, second home game.
Yeah, now there were talks that there was a public holiday on in Canberra, their last home game. So that might have been a reason why there wasn't a lot of people there. But geez, it's not a good look. And as much as we've been harsh on them before in the season, they still have won 3 games, and so they're still well and truly in the competition. Make sure you get out and support them. How do you see this one going, though?
Well, it's a double header, so get out and see the Brumbies girls take on the Rebels, and then watch the boys take on Moana. I think they'll both be, you know, very entertaining games. The Rebels women and the Moana men have the tendency to bring out running rugby in their opponents. I think that's part of the fun. So I think we'll see some high quality footy, and I still can't go past the Brumbies at home. Moana have done it in the past. They've spoiled the Brumbies party, but I don't see it happening this time. I think it's going to be the Brumbies again by double digits.
Interestingly, Stephen Larkham has chosen to bench Ryan Lonergan and start,
Harrison Goddard.
Harrison Goddard, that's it, for this game against Moana. That'll be interesting to see how that pans out and whether he is looking for more impact off the bench and just getting minutes into Goddard early in the season. I can see Moana winning this game. They have played well the last few weeks, and they are not the team that we saw last year that nearly went winless throughout the season. So I'm actually going to tip Moana here, because I think if they can front up and put the Brumbies under pressure, particularly in the forward pack, physically up front, then they have electric backs outside them that can score points as well. Let's move across to on Saturday afternoon, 12:05 Sydney time kickoff. The Waratahs' first game in Fiji in Super Rugby Pacific history against the Fijian in Drua. Lockie, can the Waratahs get the win here, or are the Drua going to continue their home winning record?
The Tars can win, but I don't think they will. I think the girls get up, but the men go down to a Drua team stinging from going down to the Chiefs in Hamilton. I think that crowd, the fantastic performances we've seen, particularly from their back row, the Drua will come to the fore and really test the on-ball trio for the Tars. I think that's going to be my favourite matchup of the entire weekend, is seeing how the likes of the Hannigans, the Gambles, the Fergus Lee Warners and that cohort go against that enormous back three. So I think it's the Drua. It's going to be tight. I'm going to say single digits Drua.
I'm going with Waratahs in this one. We just seem to have the number for the Drua in the past few seasons, and we've played well against them. This is the first time we faced them at home, though, so that is a different challenge. The travel, the heat, there are elements there, the hostile crowd that sort of paint the picture that the Drua will win this one. Max Jorgensen returns from injury this week in the 15 jersey, so that then pushes Mark Nwonga Niitawasi back out onto the wing. I think that is his true and out position there. He looked a little bit lost at times in 15 last week. Can play there at a pinch, but he's more explosive on the wing for the boys in blue. So I'm going to go with the Waratahs. I'm also hoping that this is the first time we get to see their Indigenous away kit this season, which is going to be spicy. It's going to look great if we can get the sort of Fijian blue jersey of the Drua against the Indigenous white jersey of the Waratahs. It's just going to look good, if nothing else. So tune in for that alone.
That'll be awesome.
Let's go to the next game, which is the Chiefs hosting the Highlanders. The Highlanders have been a little bit up and down this season. Probably you're ruining the opportunity to finish that game against the Brumbies last weekend, and the Chiefs' massive performances in the first four games this season. Do you think the Highlanders have enough to upset the Chiefs at home?
Nope. Chiefs win. Easy game to pick.
Done. Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs as well. Would really like to see how that matchup between Reece Patchell and Damian McKenzie. I don't think no one's troubling McKenzie at the moment, but Reece Patchell has been on a bit of a fine form as well. So we'll be interesting to see how they go. Blues versus Crusaders. Now, this is the game of the round in terms of kits. As excited as I was before about the Drua and the Waratahs, both the Blues and the Crusaders are wearing their heritage jerseys. The Crusaders have just announced this morning their heritage jersey that they'll be wearing has a proper collar, Lockie, which you will be happy to see. Is that enough to get the Crusaders their first victory? Can they go to Eden Park and get the first win of 2024?
It would be very Crusaders for them to go 0-4 and then beat the Blues at Eden Park. Like, the Blues are famously dreadful at winning games that matter against the Crusaders, at least since 2003. So I don't know. Flip a coin for this one. Honestly, they're both Kiwis and I don't care. I hope that they just bash each other up and leave us littered with injured All Blacks. So let's say Blues because they're at home and their heritage kit is absolutely mint. Let's say Blues by three.
I don't see the Crusaders troubling the Blues actually this week. I think this could be a multi-digited win for the Blues. I think they could win by 10 plus. The Crusaders have not been good this season. They have not shown, other than that, the close loss to the Chiefs in opening round of the competition, they've gone backwards since. So there's a lot on the line for them. There's a lot of pressure on them and the coach. I think the Blues have the talent to get the win there. Last game of the weekend is your boys up against the Western Force. This is being played in Perth. Can the Reds continue their winning form against the Western Force?
I think they will at this point, just because the Force haven't shown me enough to stop the Reds just yet. I can see it being a scrappy game, a messy game, but the Reds have so far shown that they're able to win those now. So I think the Reds go over to Perth and they do it comfortably. That being said, I would like to see a good Force performance to demonstrate that they still have something to offer in this competition. I think at the end of the day, we're going to see Reds double digits, and that sets up some massive All-Australian derbies coming up over the next month. What's your call?
There are teams in this competition, I think, that can trouble the Reds at the moment. Unfortunately, the Western Force aren't one of them. If they can play like they did against the Brumbies in round two, they will trouble the Reds. Whether they can consistently hold them off to get the win, I don't think so. They might keep them to single digits, though. But yeah, I'm going to go with the... I just don't see the Reds going... I don't see the Western Force being able to outdo the Reds there, so I'll go with them as well. Lockie, thanks for joining me this week. That brings us to the end of the podcast. It has been a bit of a longer one, but we've sort of smashed two together. Go well this weekend. Hope you boys in red can get the win. Hope the Waratahs as well get up against the Indrua. If nothing else, just tune into Super Rugby this weekend to see the awesome kits that are being worn, because there are some really, really nice ones. Go well, mate.
Let's go. Crackers in there.
Yeah, you go well. We'll see you next week for the podcast.
Thanks very much. Bye, everyone.
See ya. Bye.